Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today we're catching up with Courtney DeWalter, who holds the overall supported FKT on Colorado's Collegiate Loop. Join us for more about the appeal of a remote mountain loop and the mental and physical aspects of covering over 160 miles in one day and 16 hours. Yeah, so Courtney, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm really pleased to have you on here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy to chat about all things running.
Yay. So I want to talk a little bit about your recent FKT on the Collegiate Loop, obviously. And so for our listeners who may not be familiar with the route, could you describe it a bit in terms of, you know, distance, elevation, and, you know, the overall like aesthetic of the route?
Absolutely. It's here in Colorado. So the Colorado Trail goes from Durango to Denver, and it's about 500 miles. But when it gets to the Collegiates, this mountain range, you can either go on the east side of that range or on the west side of that range to get to the, like, back onto that main Colorado Trail section. And this Collegiate Loop takes those sections and just does those by themselves. So it's a 160-ish mile loop around this amazing mountain range near like the Leadville, Buena Vista, Salida area. And it's just absolutely stunning. You're out there in the middle of nowhere. It feels like so wild, and you spend a lot of time above tree line. So a lot of time above like 11,000 feet.
Yeah, it's a super high elevation route. I haven't done the loop solo, but I've done the Colorado Trail. So I've gone both sides of it. I'm kind of curious, like, since it's a loop, obviously you can choose any direction and start and end point. So how did you choose your start and end point, and which direction did you go and why?
So we started and ended at Twin Lakes, which is the northern end of the loop. And that was for a couple of reasons. One, the previous FKTs had been set by starting at this same spot. And two, I live in Leadville, so this was the closest jump off point basically for the loop. So it was like, you know, drive down the street and start, and then at the finish, just drive back up the street and be in a bed already, which definitely had its appeal. And then we went south on the west side, and then came back north on the east side, both because the previous FKTs had been set doing that same direction, and because the west side is just, I think, a little bit harder, and you spend most of it at a really high altitude, and there's quite a bit of climbing on that side. And so the idea to get that on the front end when you're a little more fresh felt like an appealing option to have when,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool when you, when there's a loop like this, really you could start anywhere and go either direction. And that is, I think, so exciting to just, you know, be able to choose your adventure within a loop like that.
Yeah, totally.
Which side did you like better?
I had such radically different experiences. It's like kind of hard to compare, but I liked sections of both. I definitely think the west is, you know, the more overall scenic section to do. There's definitely not the, at least I don't remember there being a lot of cows and dirt bikes on that, but you have that on the east. But you know, they're both enjoyable in different ways for sure. And I don't know, at some point I'd like to come out and actually do the full loop just as the loop rather than as part of a longer endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you live in Leadville, so this is like literally like your backyard. Are you out there all the time? Have you like basically done all sections of the route prior to the FKT, or were there some areas that you weren't familiar with before you got out there?
I was familiar with pretty much all of it. I attempted the Colorado Trail in 2020, going north. So I was going from Durango towards Denver, and during that attempt, I went on the Collegiate West side. So I had been on that entire thing, but it was also going the other direction, and it was really far into a long attempt, and so my brain was kind of like just a mush bucket by then. So I didn't have like really vivid images of it in my head, so it felt a little bit new, even though I had been, on all of these sections at some point, in some sort of zombie-like state.
Right.
And then the east side, there were a couple sections of that I hadn't been on yet, but I was pretty familiar with most of it.
I'm kind of curious why you chose to do, unless I'm getting them confused, why you chose to do the West as on your Colorado Trail FKT. Was that because that was what had been done before? Because I always feel like the West is like the harder option for the CT.
Yeah, I chose it because for sure there were stout times on that west side on the Colorado Trail. So I knew that it was possible to, go for the FKT, even though it was the like higher elevation side, basically. But also because I had spoken to a lot of people who had done the Colorado Trail, and they just like highly recommended Collegiate West for that like full Colorado feel of like rugged mountains, tiny single track in the middle of this like huge landscape, and just to like feel like you're really out there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Especially if you aren't, if that's your Colorado Trail experience, for sure. I would definitely recommend that over the East. I mean, when I attempted the Colorado Trail FKT, I totally went the East way because I had done the West and I was like, that was really hard. Like, I'm going to go like the easier way. But yeah, no, when I did the Continental Divide Trail the first time, we did the West route. And yeah, it was stunning and amazing and definitely highly
It's so
recommended.
cool. And our timing was like pretty incredible for the weather, and the like leaves were starting to change, and some of the willows were starting to change, but there were still a few like patches of flowers hanging on. So it was this wonderful combination of weather, and like, I don't know, everything about it was just so cool.
Yeah, it's really beautiful country back there for sure. Oh, so you kind of have mentioned altitude a couple of times. So I'm kind of curious. Obviously, you live at high altitude, so I'm sure altitude probably wasn't a factor for you. But what about the weather? Because I know like that's a big consideration on the Colorado Trail. Most of the summer and into the fall, it's like you get these big storms out of nowhere and there's nowhere to go. Like you are up there. So was that a factor in your collegiate FKT?
It was a factor in that we were watching the weather for a couple weeks, because we live here and we had a little flexibility in our schedule. We basically knew of like a 2 week window where it would work for us to go attempt it for our schedules. And then we just sort of sat on our weather apps for that 2 week window, like trying to cherry pick the best window of days where we wouldn't get caught out in those types of storms. Because it's a very real factor in the mountains, and like, I mean, the safety and also the speed at which you move when it's pouring rain or, lightning or hail. So
Or
we
snow.
had, or snow, or all of them combined. So we were very lucky in that we could cherry pick it, and we ended up with a great window. It got, a little chilly at night on the west side and a little hot on the east side during the day, but otherwise, we weren't held up by anything extreme.
That's really good. Yeah, the ability to be able to just like keep an eye on the app and have that flexibility, that's really crucial, I think, when you're attempting something with such volatile weather. Like I don't live in Colorado, obviously, but my experience has been basically that this state like never has summer or never has like stable weather, because every time I've been there from July to September, I've gotten snowed on in the mountains like every single month.
Yeah, and a new one in the past couple of summers has always been the fire smoke from a fire somewhere, and that has like really foiled a lot of August things. And this year we were fortunate to not have such a smoky summer, but we were also, keeping our eyes on that, because heading out on a trail for a huge effort in, thick smoke in the air is not ideal for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of crazy how in the last few years, like monitoring the AQI has become a part of training and competing and just recreating in the mountains because it, I mean, and everywhere, even places that, I mean, like places like Seattle, like there's no fires in Seattle, but it seems to be this sink where it just like all of the smoke goes in pools and it becomes really terrible. It's definitely a changing landscape.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. In Colorado, like my experience with the smoke has been a lot of times it's down more like on the Front Range. When you're up in like Leadville and up at like the Collegiate area, does the smoke ever tend to fill in up there, or are you generally high enough to be above it?
Yeah, I guess last summer we had a pretty smoky August up here, where even in town here in Leadville, it was difficult to see the range of mountains that's, just a few miles from us. So we got caught in that pattern for a bit, and I don't know if it was just like a huge mass, that just kept moving through, or if it was sitting on us. I'm not positive. A lot of times, though, you're right, the Front Range down in the Denver, Golden, Boulder area has a worse AQI than we do up here, just because I think it does sit there and build.
I was there in the, I guess it was probably late August or early September of 2021, and to climb Albert and Massive. And I remember being up there and looking east and just being able to see all of the smoke. And when we drove down to Boulder to leave, it was just driving into this like wall of smoke. And then we were
So
driving east across
crazy.
the country. So we were just like in this wall of smoke until we got to like the Midwest.
Oh
It was
my
just like
gosh.
so much smoke. And but it was interesting because when we were up at Leadville, like it wasn't, I couldn't like feel like I was breathing in the smoke, but you could definitely see the haze in the air. So what drew you to attempting the Collegiate Loop FKT? Like you could choose any FKT. Why that one?
I have been intrigued by that one for a while. There's so many cool trails, and the Colorado Trail is like high on my interest list to try again. But taking just a small portion of it had like a very big draw for me because I knew how cool the trail was and how beautiful, how scenic it was out there, and like it would give that remote feeling, but also I knew, we could throw things in the trunk of our car and drive there and start it within, that could be a 30-minute window of deciding to go and then just being on it already. So it was like a lot of simplicity involved with this one, of the access to it and like it being in my backyard, but also it is long enough where it's got the interest of like multiple days and the variables that come into play when you're out there for 2 or more days. So, this summer we knew we wouldn't quite have time for a Colorado Trail attempt again. It's just a little bit bigger of a time and recovery commitment. And so, when we were thinking of like what trail would be fun to attempt that wasn't a week-long endeavor, this one was like next on the list of, oh, it would be so fun to go out on this loop in our backyard that's, linking up these parts of the Colorado Trail that we love so much already. Let's just go for it.
Nice. Yeah, that kind of leads me to like my next question. Like obviously your exact start day was pretty spontaneous, but it sounds like you put a lot of time and thought into this record. This wasn't necessarily like a spontaneous choice. Like, hey, I'm just going to go attempt this FKT. How long ago did you decide, you kind of wanted to do this, that this was like on your mind?
It had been on my mind a couple of years. And then this year, I guess when I was making my race schedule for the season, we intentionally left August and September pretty open with the hopes that the weather and my body and my brain and like all of the puzzle pieces would fall into place so that we could go after something like this. But we weren't sure, and we weren't like set in stone on it happening because there are so many things that could have, made it not happen. Like, I did a race in July and I didn't know how recovery would go after that for such a huge effort. Like, multiple day effort is, it's big. And like, to be physically and mentally prepared and excited for it wasn't a guarantee. So we had the, like, gray window available to make it happen, but we weren't sure that we would actually do it this year.
Right. Yeah, I think that you kind of touched on something that a lot of people don't necessarily think of. They think of the physical recovery, but there's a huge mental component, especially when you're going to go out and do something like this that's like multiple days and just kind of this next level. So you could do talk a little bit about, maybe like the mental aspect of recovering from a race or an FKT and preparing for the next one.
Absolutely. For me, it's just as important as the physical recovery. Oftentimes, after a 100-mile race or some big project, my legs will feel pretty good fairly quickly, but I'll notice just like general like mental fatigue and like my brain is tired because there's so much brain effort put into these, physical feats. They're not just Running is more than just a physical activity, for sure. There's a whole mental side to it. And so I'll pay attention to that mental recovery just as much, if not more, than the physical, and really assess, every day how I'm feeling, like where am I at mentally with like coming back to feeling normal and excited again, and use that to gauge like when I might be ready to go after another big thing.
And there's no real defined timeline for that. Sometimes you bounce back quick, and sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah. Do you find the same for like all of your long attempts?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I got to the point where like I definitely didn't adequately like mentally recover, and I really just burned out. And I mean, only recently have I even felt like I could go out and actually do something long again. And I mean, it's been like 5 years. I mean, it took a long time to get the mental aspect back. Like physically, I could train and be ready to go, but just mentally, it's like I'd go out and try to do something challenging, like even a hard training run, and I'd be like, I'm done, go home. Like, and so it's just very strange. Like there's been, times where I just like bounced right back. Yeah, I want to do more. And then there's been, this big chunk of time, and I'm just like, well, it'll happen when it happens, which is like
Yeah.
definitely a growing period for me, for sure, because like I'm used to like something big every year, and then it was just like all of a sudden no more. So it's
Yeah.
been, yeah.
Well, good job listening to that and not trying to, like bang your head against a wall to force it, because it for sure is, yeah, it's a huge piece of these efforts, and to respect that recovery is important.
The collegiate loop has a really long history of failed attempts on the route. I was really enjoying kind of reading through and just seeing like how many people on the fastest known time like announced, hey, we're going to do this. Oh, we didn't, or we got this far and we stopped. And so I'm kind of curious if you ever had a point out there where you thought you might be joining the ranks of the many failed attempts on this route.
Our mindset going into it was very excited to try it and to give it our best, but also we knew that no matter how it shook out or what it would take to come back from any problems, we were going to finish it. So there was never a thought in my head of like, I'm not going to make it or we're going to stop. I didn't know if, a problem would arise somewhere or I would get really sleepy and have to, stop for hours or, even a full day reset. We didn't know what was in our cards for this attempt, but we knew that we had these days and we had some friends out there helping and that everyone's goal was to get back to Twin Lakes, like with human-powered effort. So, yeah, and that was cool to just like have that mindset and not like we weren't set the whole time. I wasn't just thinking of the FKT or the time. It was like enjoying being out there, enjoying moving with my feet, and just seeing what happened because in 160 miles of mountain running, anything can happen. And it was like, like diving into that unknown and like looking for, what's going to be the wrench or what's going to be the unexpected thing that gets thrown at us, and can we deal with it?
Yeah. That's really great. I like that mindset of just, we're just gonna finish this and we're just gonna face the challenges as they come along. What sort of motivational techniques do you use, whether in the training or on an FKT or during a race? Because obviously you go out and you go hard. I mean, you are pushing yourself. And so we talked a little bit about that mental recovery. So what are some of those techniques that you use to get yourself through like low points?
I'll use a lot of mantras. So I think repeating something positive or calming in your mind can be helpful in not making, allowing room for any negative thoughts to come in. So if you occupy that space with something positive, then, maybe it gives you some of that forward momentum to push past that low point. And it helps you not dwell on the negative for sure. I also use snacks.
That is the key. I tell people that all the time. I'm like, if you are having a bad time, eat a snack.
It's true. Half the time, it is really just like your calories are low and you need a little sugar boost.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how old we are still just toddlers. It's like a snack and a nap, and you can solve just about like everything.
Yeah. And it's also like enjoying the struggle. Like if you get to be out there doing this thing by choice that's physically and mentally hard, like enjoy that and embrace that you have that opportunity to, push yourself a little bit and put yourself in a place where you get to test yourself. So I try to always like keep that mindset and like remind myself of it during those hard moments of how cool is it that I get to be doing this thing that's difficult.
For sure. Voluntary hardship.
Yeah.
What was your high point of the collegiate loop? I mean, we talked a little bit about just like kind of going through and how beautiful it is, but what was your actual like high point, the part that you look back on with the fondest memory?
It was always wonderful to get to some of the trailheads and see my crew there and, get that boost of energy and to do it in this supported way where like, they could show up with 7-Eleven Slurpees and, Pacers and could just like, I don't know, it's this cool memory that now I have with this group of people that is going to be fun to like reminisce on in 20 years, when we're drinking a beer together to remember this adventure. But on the flip side of that, I also really, really loved that I started it running by myself for the whole first day. So I did like 50 miles or something solo, meeting my husband and my crew at a couple spots, but really like pretty alone time. And I liked that as like a way to start this big endeavor of, just me and my feet and my brain and these snacks and like enjoying that I was going to, be out there for the next couple days or whatever.
So speaking of your crew, I'm kind of curious how you assembled your crew. Like, is there overlap between your crew for the Colorado Trail or, who did you choose and how did you choose them?
My husband is always excited and great for crewing me. So he was in, of course. And then we have a couple local friends who Paul and Meredith, and Paul had done the collegiate loop before. And they live really close to us. And so when it was going to be this kind of like, it wasn't last minute, but choosing the actual start date was a little bit in the air for a while. And so when we were doing that, we sent an email to them, and then our friend Nick Petitella, who's was actually is the men's FKT holder of the loop, and we were like, "Hey, we're going for it." We had been kind of like chatting about it a little all summer, but then it was like, "Oh, it's real! Like we're doing this." Are you guys available for these, random days to be out
Right.
crewing? And they were just pumped right away to join in and help and be all hands on deck of like whatever we needed, whatever pacing or crewing. So that was super cool, and it was awesome to have Nick, who has the record and like knows the trail so well, and was like down to pace tons of miles, and it was a really special group we had. And then we had our tracker, posted, and so a few, random friends would just show up places and like join for a few miles or show up at a trailhead and help crew for a bit. It was really cool.
I kind of was curious, like, especially when you have the flexibility to start whenever you want, how you convince people last minute, like, hey, come out and do this thing. So it sounds really awesome. You had a lot of support, and also having the previous record holder or the current men's record holder. I mean, I imagine that was like super helpful.
Yeah, super cool. And the women's record holder, Annie Hughes, also lives in Leadville. And she knew that I was doing it. And she showed up at a couple spots when we got to the east side. So in that second day, to cheer and like run a little bit with us. And it was really cool to see her show up for it.
That's awesome. I
Yeah,
love
it's such a
the
great
FKT
community.
community.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like less about the record and more about just like people being psyched to elevate each other and do cool routes, you know?
Totally. It is. It's so refreshing and different and supportive. I love that about it. I guess my other question I have is about your physical training. We talked a little bit about your mental training. Can you talk about kind of your physical training? Was it different for an FKT, or is it pretty much the same as what you do for your races?
I didn't do very much anything different really for this. Mostly I wanted to be physically rested and like fresh feeling for 160-ish miles. And so I, was out playing in the mountains all summer. I had been training for a mountain race in July, and so there just in general was a lot of time spent like out hiking mountains with poles and long days on my feet, normal stuff like that. And then when it became August and I was, getting back into training and thinking like there might be a window for this, it was making sure that I just felt like as physically fresh and mentally excited as possible. So not like overdoing anything in the training leading into it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people underestimate the power of rest in their training and not showing up injured or overtrained or
Yeah.
so
Still have
important.
some spring in your step.
Yeah, exactly. And that helps with the mental too, to not be like worn out.
Yeah.
This was your first FKT that's on the books, as far as I can tell. And so I'm kind of curious, like, do you have others in your future? Are you looking to do some more FKTs, or are you just kind of playing it by ear?
A little of both. So, I attempted the Colorado Trail in 2020, and that one is still stirring around in my brain of like, I gotta get back on that trail and try to finish it. So, we'll see when that actually can happen, but it's very high on my wish list to try again. And then there's some other routes that are definitely interesting, but nothing that we're actually like making moves on yet or like concretely planning yet.
Did you have anything else that you'd like to talk about that I didn't touch on?
I don't think so. I think that this trail is super cool though, so more people should do it. And like, yeah, I don't know, you just get this really remote feeling when you're out there, like on the west side. I really saw no other humans. We saw five moose, which was really cool. And then the east side, you get kind of this whole different feel, like the trail feels a little bit different. And that makes it a really unique loop to make, I think.
Totally. Yeah, speaking of moose, I don't know how many people outside of Colorado realize there are moose in Colorado. Because I know for sure when I encountered a moose when I was on the Continental Divide Trail in Colorado, like way back when, I was like shocked. I was like, what is this doing here? Did you have any like scary animal encounters during this? Like, I mean, how, I mean, moose to me are very frightening creatures. Like, did you have any like bad moose?
No, nothing scary. No, like crazy animals that we saw. Maybe a mountain lion was watching us. I don't know. And disappointingly, I didn't really even have that many hallucinations. So I didn't even like fabricate any wild animal encounters.
You'll just have to go out and do it again, you know, until you have the. Why do you think that a mountain lion was watching you? Do you have like something that kind of like made you feel that way, or are you just saying there probably was one just because they're everywhere?
Yeah, mostly just because I assume they're everywhere. I would love to see one someday, but from a safe distance, you know, where you know it's not about to attack you. But I'm guessing, like, with the lack of humans on that west side and how, you know, what a great playground it would be for a mountain lion. I'm guessing we went near some, but I didn't see any.
Yeah, they keep to themselves. They don't particularly like to be seen.
Yeah,
So,
which is fine
yeah.
with me if they then don't want to have me for a snack.
Right. Yes, that's always ideal. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Courtney, for coming on the show. You can check out her FKT report on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow her on Instagram at Courtney DeWalter. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, this is Heather on the FKT Podcast.